This is a town filled with fine authors, some young, some not so young, and fine organizations that that benefit authors but allow them to be together and give awards. The 11th Annual Chicago Writers Association is about to, well, about to in 2 or 3 minutes, announce their winners. And I have on the phone a previous winner, one of my favorite writers and one of my favorite people, Peter Ferry. How are you?
I'm great, Rick. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I'm surviving. I mean, that's the way I think of everything these days, Pete. It's like I'm surviving. Before we get to this scoop announcement, how long have you been a member of the Chicago Writers Association?
Well, I about 5 years.
And why did you join?
I joined because I entered their contest.
And you happened to, you did, oh, that's right, and you won their contest, didn't you?
Then I felt duty-bound to join.
Now,
I had to be a member beforehand.
Yeah. Are you on the board, or what is your position with the CWA?
I am on the board.
And you have, what is the procedure like? Did you have awards last year, Pete?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
They have awards every year.
But you couldn't have done it in person last year, did you?
No, and we don't know that we're going to.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It was at the bookseller.
Which is one of the, well, the nice thing about the bookseller is, you well know, it's one of the few bookstores around where you can have beer and wine while you're looking at books. That may make it one of the great bookstores in the modern land. It is scheduled for January 22nd, if indeed this new variant doesn't screw things up. What's the process, Pete? Anybody, I suppose, can enter a book? Is that how it works?
Yeah, you can. I think anyone can enter a book, and a lot of people did.
How many?
A lot of people, dozens and dozens. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but.
And you and the other members of the CWA, break into a nonfiction group and then a fiction group, and you have how many judges?
There's one judge for each category.
Oh, is that right? Screeners. Interesting.
There's screeners who screen the books as they come in and farm them out, and then they choose the finalists.
Oh, I see. Yeah, which would makes it a lot easier than reading, 48 books. I'm curious. You have in.
I'll tell you something interesting.
Sure.
The screeners and the judges have all been clamoring at us. Can we give these books away? Can I tell people about these books? Can I? It's quite an amazing crop of good books, excellent writing.
Mm-hmm. You won for, were you surprised to win for Old Heart? Is one of, and I want to talk before I let you go about the dramatized version of Old Heart that's going to be premiering in Detroit in the new year. Were you surprised and or shocked? And I'm sure you were delighted when Old Heart won the award in 2015.
Yeah,
you don't write, I know this, Pete, you don't write for, nobody I admire writes for awards. Maybe Hemingway and a Nobel, but that's a different matter. But when you get one, it reaffirms, does it not, something about your work and about you?
I think it does, but I think you have to write blind. And maybe that sounds idealistic, but I don't think you can be looking, as just as you're saying.
Yeah.
You can be looking, I want to tailor this to this or that. You got to write what's in your heart, and maybe it turns out, and maybe it doesn't. And, literary history is littered with instances of both.
No kidding. No question. Were you on a committee? Were you a judge this year?
I wasn't a judge. I have been a judge in the past, and the tradition with the Chicago Writers Association, which I really like.
Yeah.
If you win the award this year, you're the judge next year.
Oh, how interesting. How interesting. Yeah. On the assumption.
Generally, I mean, there are exceptions, but usually people accept that assignment as an honor. And it's a lot of work.
Yeah, no question. No
it's
question.
An honor that comes. But this year I was the director.
Oh.
Of the awards.
Much more.
I mean, of the,
well, much more rarefied position befitting your talent, I think. Would you say? Yeah. A much more august position. We're going to take a little break, Pete, and then we're going to come back and we will announce formally the winners in how many categories are there? Let's see. One, two.
There are four categories.
Four categories. I want to also talk to you about the difference between, as you define, traditional fiction and independent fiction. I'm very intrigued by that as well. And the great thing about it, I have read almost all the books that are the winners here. So take that. You guys are doing a great, great job. We'll return with...
Well, I'm delighted to hear that.
No kidding. Well, I do a lot of reading. I'm on with Peter Ferry. Peter, you have your own website now?
Yeah, sort of.
Just like me. The big self-promoting authors. Peter is literally one of my favorite writers. Old Heart is an amazing novel. Travel writing, his first novel, is, I think, even more so. He also was a teacher at Lake Forest for many, many years. And in his classes were such notable people as Dave Eggers, who is one of the most esteemed authors in the country, and Vince Vaughn, who is an actor of some note, but I don't believe he would even be able to write a sentence. But that's my peculiar bigotry there. We'll be back in a couple minutes with Pete Ferry. Welcome back. I'm on the phone from his new home down in Indiana someplace with Peter Ferry, one of my a dear friend and a remarkable, remarkable novelist. He was an English teacher for many, 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 many years and taught Dave Eggers All He Knows and turned Vince Vaughn into an actor. He is now with the Chicago Writers Association, which he seems to like very much, and he's kind of overseen the 11th annual Chicago Writers Association Awards. Okay, Mr. Ferry, let's talk about the winner in the traditional fiction, but first I have to ask you to define traditional fiction as opposed to independent fiction, which you also give an award in. What's the difference, Pete?
Can I say a word about Dave Eggers first?
Sure.
Because we've had a role reversal thing. He's become my mentor in many ways.
He's
my advisor, and it's a great honor.
Well, no kidding, no question. He's an incredible talent on the literary, not only as a writer, but as a sort of force of literary life.
Not a guy like you who's just endlessly generous.
Thank you. That's very sweet of you. Did you know, one more, did you sense that about him when he was a kid, you know, passing notes in your classroom?
I knew he was special, but you knew that about several kids every year.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Most of them are lawyers and doctors.
Right, or commodities brokers. Yeah, it's Lake Forest, after all.
Yeah, and when his father said, you know, maybe you need to go to law school. He said, I don't think so.
Good for him.
I think it's his force of will. And in addition to his quite amazing gift and talent and drive.
No question. No question. So define for me, Peter Ferry, the differences between traditional fiction and independent fiction. And we will announce the winner in traditional fiction once you've done so. What are the differences?
In literal terms, or in terms of language,
yeah.
Tradition is what's being published by the New York publishing houses.
Gotcha.
And independent is what's being published by independent people. Self-published things by very small publishing houses.
Small publishing houses, sure. Of which there are an increasing number too, which I think is very, very, very healthy. All right, yeah. Mr. Ferry, the winner in the category of traditional fiction is.
Well, I'm going to announce the second finisher of the honorable mention first.
Oh, that's yeah. See, I'm like I watch too many Oscar broadcasts. Please, yes. Yeah, you go ahead. The honorable mention in traditional fiction is
a wonderful story called Coyote Loop,
mm-hmm.
by L.C. Fiore. But the winner is a thing called How to Walk on Water. It's a collection of short stories by Rachel Swearingen. And our judge, a former winner herself, Elizabeth Wetmore, says that it's a magnificent collection with spare prose and keen insights into characters. Think in terms of everyday stories about everyday people that are powerful in a way that isn't every day,
and that isn't you know, cliched. Obviously, this sounds. No. I have not read that book.
These are great ones.
That's, and I'm sure you have read.
Quite a young writer, I think.
Pardon me.
So, Swearingen is quite a young writer, I think. So keep an eye out for her. But Elizabeth Wetmore says that she infuses her stories with dignity, beauty, and wonder. I second
that. Wow. Wow, that'd be nice to put on the copy of the paperback edition when it comes out. Now, in the category of independent fiction, the honorable mention goes to
The Wisdom of the Flock.
Good title.
By Stephen Grant.
What's that about?
You were asking about what the difference is.
Yeah.
This is wonderful, weird, historical piece of historical fiction about Benjamin Franklin and Franz Mesmer.
Oh, the famous, the kind of hypnosis guy, right?
That's where being mesmerized comes from.
Yes.
And they meet in Paris, you know, in the 1780s, and it's so unusual that you have to pay attention to it. What an ingenious idea.
Well, and the winner is
a thing called A Bend in the River by Libby Fisher Hellman, A Bend in the River.
Which I've read almost all of. Libby Fisher Hellman has been a local literary light for some time and is quite prolific. She is the winner this time for A Bend in the River, which your judge, Dana Killian, says that she has crafted a luscious tale of two sisters locked in a traumatic history that defines them but also tears them apart. Libby, whose work I'm sure you know, Pete, is a very talented writer.
I don't know.
Oh.
I only know this, but I do know she's a very talented writer.
Just by this book.
I read this book. And she, by the way, said to say hello to you.
Yeah. I mean, I've known Libby for a long time, and I've admired her. You know, especially, and you know this too, I mean, the publishing business has been insane for the last 15 years. It has been very, very hard for even the best novels and nonfiction books to even get published, which confounds me. But the people who are born to write have fought the good fight. In the category now of...
Well, let me just say this about...
Yes, sure.
About A Bend in the River. The intriguing thing is that it begins in Vietnam, and its main characters are two sisters. It ends in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And the main characters are still two sisters. It's how you get from here to there that makes this a really wonderful piece of writing.
Well, when Libby dipped into, I cannot remember the name of the book, but it was about centered much on the 1968 Democratic Convention and the nonsense and hoopla that surrounded that. She is brilliantly able to capture time and place, which is a rare thing for a writer. She really gets it. It's obviously on the foundation of intense and wide research, but she is able to translate that into compelling fiction.
Well, the river in question is the Mekong River, and she puts you on its banks.
Oh, fantastic.
In the middle of the Vietnam War. You're right there.
Now, in the category of traditional nonfiction, the honorable mention goes to a book that I thought was unbelievably good, The Case of the Murderous Dr. Cream by Dean Job. This guy, Dr. Cream, who spent some time in Chicago murdering people, this is an unbelievably compelling book, but it did not win. And it did not win another book that I read, too.
You read Edith, too?
Yes. I was standing on the street where I live, and a woman comes by and says, "Hi, aren't you Rick Kogan?" I go, yeah, I am. She goes, I'm speaking at this building next door. And I go, wow, who are you? And she goes, well, I've written this book. And she gives me the book, which is, I didn't even buy it. Edith, there's a fantastic story about one of the lively, should I say, one of the liveliest people in the history of Chicago, Pete?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a good way to describe it. Edith Rockefeller McCormick.
Our judge, who's Peter Copeland, says, at any other time, she would have been a captain of industry or a major political figure. But she was born in the 1870s.
Yep.
And unfortunately for her, a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. But she was. She cut a big figure. And the book is absolutely fantastic. I mean, this category, I haven't read all the other books. The traditional nonfiction category has selected two of the best books I read last year, which is saying something.
Oh yeah, it is. And the judges felt the same way. This was a close call.
Oh, better was. No, better was, because the Dr. Cream one is just, they're both, Edith Rockefeller McCormick and this Dr. Cream are two of the most vivid real life characters to ever walk this earth. Now, in a minute and a half, we will talk now about the honorable mention in the independent nonfiction is The Sweetness. This is a good title, Sweetness of Venus by Sarah Chadwick. And Peter Ferry, the winner is
The Sweetness of Venus. Wait a minute, are we doing?
Yes, we're on the independent nonfiction. I just
the
read.
Winner is,
yes,
Luck is a Talent by Gary Johnson, and it's in the best tradition of a writer who spent his life not being a writer but becoming one. He's a lawyer, and he takes you right into the courtroom and right into the heart of the law, and raises the most essential questions about the law and justice and fighting for something you love and truth and all of that stuff. Outstanding book.
Well, you and the other judges and members of the Chicago Writers Association can be very proud. You picked, I'm serious, Pete. It's like the non-fiction and non-traditional category is like, I read them all. I read them both.
Have you read The Sweetness of Venus? Because, Rick, it's a celebration of the vagina.
Oh, well, that's good. Something I've been celebrating my entire life, frankly. Now, except now that I'm getting older. I've lost a little steam. Pete, when we come back after, I hope you can hold on through a couple of commercials, because I really want to talk about Old Heart and what I hope will be its dramatic presentation in Detroit. There's a video and it's a great book, and I want to talk about it, but we got to get some news in. Can you hold on for a few minutes?
Yeah, I just want to say about Sarah Chadwick that she wrote in the inside cover of the book, this is not a joke.
Well, authors have senses of humor. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with Peter Ferry. Welcome back, Peter Ferry of the Chicago Writers Association. You can get more information on that organization and its 11th annual awards ceremony, which, fingers crossed, might be held at the Bookseller on Saturday, January 22nd at 7 o'clock, where the winners will... What do they win, Pete? Do they get money?
Well, they get a lovely trophy.
That's good.
And they get money to be used at the Bookseller
to buy beer or books. Yeah. Well, it's also one of the perfect combinations. Pete's novel, Old Heart, which I was mesmerized by and which won the CWA Book of the Year in 2015, is soon to be a play. There is you can look up Pete Ferry, Old Heart video, and you'll see a very, very stylish 4 or 5 minute piece about it, and the announcement that it's fingers crossed again will be on in a theater in Detroit. How did this come about, Pete?
A guy named Roger Rappaport got in touch with me. His brother was a colleague of yours, Ron Rappaport.
Sure. Great sports writer.
Roger has had a career in independent film. He's a writer. He's a playwright. He got in touch with me a couple of years ago and said he wanted to write a play script from based on my novel, and I was enormously flattered.
Sure.
And now he's done it, and now it's going to open in Detroit. And he's added a special twist, all his own, so that in a sense we become collaborators.
Oh, neat.
The main character in my novel, in his play, is African-American.
Right.
And he wasn't in my novel. And I think it's brilliant.
Well, in essence, it's the story of a relatively elderly fellow who lives, let's say, around here, who decides to go find a long, long, long lost love. Is that basically, doesn't sound too sexy, but basically the gist of it, yes?
That's it. He's 85. His children want him to enter a retirement home.
Yeah.
And he decides to run away from home instead.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes back to the Netherlands, where he was a soldier in World War II, to look for the lover he lost track of. Yeah.
The video that Mr. Rappaport has made is very, very stylish and compelling.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at it and saying, wait a minute, what my hope is that this can go from being a stage dramatization to a film dramatization, because the people in it, you've obviously read the play, and probably collaborated a bit too. Were you... as I was.
I didn't collaborate. I didn't. It's all Roger.
It's all his. Wow.
He's been pleasantly, I mean, he's been very faithful to the book, which pleases me.
Yeah.
But it's his work, and that's why we're collaborators.
That's the perfect way to collaborate. You must have been, as I was, terribly taken with that video.
I instantly fell in love with the young woman.
Yes.
who plays the main part. And the guy, you know, yeah, I think it's wonderful.
Well, what now? Given not talk variance, let's all, you know, try to be hopeful about life in the new year. When is it scheduled to premiere in Detroit?
The 12th and 13th of February.
Okay.
At the Redford Theater in Detroit, which is a venue that's has an artistic orientation in terms of film, but also in live theater.
Well, having read the book and knowing you and knowing the Rappaport brothers, I so look forward to this. So why don't you clear your schedule a little for about the middle of January, when you can come back on and talk to me about the play, and we can drag some Chicagoans up to Detroit to see it, okay?
I would be honored. I'd love to.
Peter Ferry, this pandemic has kept us apart, but I can't wait to see you. What are you working on, Pete, if I can ask? Besides your...
With a very, very modest title of The Word of God.
I say that's going to win the 12th Annual Chicago Writers Association Award. It's a great title, Pete.
Yeah.
Be well and stay warm and stay healthy, will you please?
You be well.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
No trouble, Pete. Right. Peter Ferry,
right.
one of the good guys and a great writer. You can look him up. Peter Ferry, Ferry.